Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you've tuned into the Same Spirit of Faith broadcast. I'm Robert Shannon Fife, and my friend here is Howard Novosky. I want to turn it over to him. He's got something from Isaiah for you.
Hey, how's everybody doing today? Listen, we're sorry we're 2 days late broadcasting. That is 100% my fault. We had a men's event going in Oklahoma, and we were preaching out in the cold, like a good old Brush Arbor spell, I guess you kind of say. So we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about healing, and so we're going to keep talking about healing today. And the idea that we're presenting to all you listening, whether this is the way you were raised, this is the way your church teaches. Listen, we're not a denomination, we're not a church, we are just telling you what the Bible says. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, and this is Isaiah prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we can all agree, doesn't matter what religion you are, what denomination, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, right? So Isaiah 53, we'll start in verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, right? And they did. The Jewish people believed that he was stricken, that he was smitten by God, he was afflicted because they thought he was blaspheming God. So verse 5, that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Now, if I stop right there, there's not a denomination out there that disagrees with those two statements at all, not even a little bit. We know that he was wounded for all of our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, all of our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So Jesus Christ became sin for us. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Now, that word peace is interesting because that word peace is not our normal Western culture or, you know, our modern version of the word peace, right? Peace, tranquility, we're calm, you know, we're filled with calm, even if things are going on around us that are bad, right, or that could cause us to have turmoil, although that's part of it. But that word peace is a Jewish word, shalom. And I know we talked about it last week, but we may talk about it again this week. But just know that word shalom includes everything from your peace, like what we were just talking about. It includes your wholeness of body, wholeness of mind, wholeness of spirit, prosperity, nothing missing, nothing broken, a prosperous journey. There's so much to it. And it includes your physical healing. But the main one we want to kind of focus on is, and by his stripes, we are healed. You know, this right here in a nutshell is the gospel. And the gospel is interesting because depending on what denomination you're in, the gospel to you is I don't go to hell. I'm going to heaven. I am shunning hell and I am attaining heaven, which, by the way, so important. When you look at the scope of eternity, our 70, 80, 90, 110 years, whatever it is that we're on this earth, is absolutely nothing compared to the amount of time eternity is, because eternity is time without end. There's no beginning. There's no end. When we go into eternity, you will either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. So the single most important decision you can make is to achieve heaven and to shun hell. Am I right, Brother Bob?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So the gospel, though, gospel is just simply the good news. Now, listen, if you're poverty-stricken and you're poor, you ain't got no money, you ain't got no food, you can't feed your kids, you can't get health insurance, you can't pay your bills, you can't do anything, right? You have no money. Guess what the good news is to somebody like that? You don't have to be poor no more. Yes, I did mean for that to rhyme. If you're listening, yes, I am a rhyming machine, apparently. Just kidding, I'm not. Clearly, I'm not a rhyming machine. If you have no peace in your life, right? What's the gospel? What's the good news to them? Oh, there's peace. There's peace in Jesus Christ. You know, but if you're sick, guess what good news is for you? You don't have to be sick anymore, because by his stripes, we are healed. And just to kind of put a little fine point on that, and I want you to turn to First Peter 2:24, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, because I don't know, I don't like the these and the thous, I guess. Who himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And here's where Peter references back to Isaiah, but he changes the wording ever so slightly. By whose stripes you were healed. What Peter is saying here is Jesus. This is after Peter wrote this, after Jesus had been beaten, crucified, he had died, he had risen again the third day, and he ascended to heaven. So we say all this to say that in the past tense, Jesus Christ bore not only your sins, but because of the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You and I, as Christians, as believers, we are not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed. We are the healthy. We are the whole. We are the ones in shalom peace. What do you got to say about all that?
That's exactly right. Yeah, it just reminds me of 3 John 2. He said, "Beloved, I pray above all things." Notice that. Above all things. Notice that term, that phrase. Above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. He wants us to have material prosperity. He wants us to have physical healing and health and soul salvation. That was exactly what Howard was talking about. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 says, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment and keep his statutes," or just keep his word, he said, "I won't permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians." Notice the last part of this verse. "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." He's still in the healing business. He was healing back in Exodus. He's still healing today, and he always will be the healer. He's not going to change. Isn't that right, Howard? Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. You brought up Exodus. Galatians 3:13 says, well, let's just turn that, Galatians 3:13, because I could quote it, but sometimes I feel like, as Brother Hagin used to say, like I do a disservice by just quoting it to you. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Curse of the law, what does that mean? Well, listen, God brought the law, right? God brought the law to the children of Israel. He gave it to Moses, remember? Put it on some tablets. Moses comes down. They're messing around with some golden calf. Throws him down. He has to go back up, make new ones. You know, like I won't go into all the details with that. But here's the point. In Deuteronomy 28, the first 15 verses talk about the blessings that came with following after the law of God, the law that came through Moses from God. All the blessings. There was richness. There was prosperity. There was health and healing. There was victory over enemies. There was, I mean, you name it. There was having a bunch of kids, because, you know, nowadays we don't all want to have hundreds of kids. But back then, the more kids you had, the more blessed you were. I don't know if I can handle that many kids. I've got one, and he's 18, and he's an adult. He's self-sufficient, but you know what? Having a whole lot of kids would be tough, right? So, but that was the type of blessings that came when you were fulfilling the law. But the curse of the law, you would be cursed if you did not follow every bit of the law. And that includes sickness, that includes disease, poverty, lack. Women would be barren, you wouldn't have any children, all these things. It's interesting too, like specifically in Deuteronomy 28, there's different types of diseases that they talk about, because they didn't have all the diseases that we know about today, or they had them, but maybe they just didn't know about them. You had the batch of Egypt, you had something called the itch, you had the scab, you had this, you had all kinds of stuff, the fever, right? And then in verse 61, it says, "And any sickness or plague not written in the book of the law will come upon you if you don't fulfill all the words of this law." So all that's saying is basically sickness and disease is part of the curse.
Yes.
Sickness and disease is part of the curse. When Adam and Eve were put on this planet, in the Garden of Eden attended, guess what they didn't do? They didn't get sick. They didn't get the flu. There was no COVID. Nobody got cancer. Nobody had the sniffles. None of that stuff. There was no sickness. Sin came on, and of course we started to see death, and you started to see things happen. And then the law was established, and God established the curse of the law. Now listen, that doesn't mean if you got sick, God's putting sickness on you because you didn't follow his law. That's not what we're sick. There's still a devil. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Sickness does not come from God. Sickness comes from the devil. Sickness comes from the evil in this world. And here's the deal. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Because why? Having become a curse for us, right? He became your curse. He became my curse. He became our curse so that we would be redeemed from the curse of the law. Go ahead, brother. What do you got?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember exactly. I think it's in Exodus where the scripture said, he will bless our bread and our water, and he will take sickness from the midst of us.
It is in Exodus. I just don't remember exactly where it's at. Yep.
Yeah, I can't remember the chapter and verse, but I'd have to look it up. But it does say God will bless our bread and our water. He wants us to eat the best. He wants us to drink the best, and he wants us to live in divine health. That's really why God sent Jesus, was to destroy the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil?
By the way, I don't mean to interrupt you. Exodus 23:25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the reason that Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? It's poverty. It's sickness. Is stealing, killing, and destroying. You got to ask yourself, does it steal, does it kill, and to destroy? Well, it's of the devil. That's all you got to ask yourself. Does it steal, does it kill, does it destroy? It's of the devil. If it's
absolutely
good, it's of God. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
I mean,
listen, and you've asked this before, you brought this up to me. Listen, those of you all who think like, well, God doesn't want us prosperous. God doesn't want that. I tell you what, next, stop working. Don't work anymore. Don't work extra hours. Don't work overtime. Don't work to make extra money. Just work to barely make enough to feed yourself, and we'll see how far you go with that. And you tell me, it's the same people who say that God doesn't want us healed. Sometimes he puts sickness and disease on us to teach us something. Listen, if you believe that, I don't want to hear about folks going to the doctor anymore, because you're going to the doctor to get healed and healthy. You're trying to be out of God's will. Don't get out of God's will. Hold on to it until God takes it away from you, until you learn whatever lesson he's trying to teach you. Doesn't that sound preposterous, Bob? I mean, just absolutely,
yeah.
I'm going to use the word asinine. I think I can use that on the radio, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's religious tradition, but the devil is behind it. You know, Deuteronomy 8:18, this is the will of God. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Notice this, for it is he, God, that giveth thee, because he's a liberal giver, power to get wealth. Yes, wealth is a Bible word. Rich is a Bible word. Money is a Bible word. It's in the Bible. It's biblical. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy father, as it is this day. And healing is the will of God. Prosperity is the will of God. And being born again is the will of God. Having peace of mind is the will of God. As it is in heaven, that's how it should be in your life. Are there any sickness in heaven? Nope, they shouldn't be in your life. Are there any crime in heaven? Nope, they shouldn't be in your city either. You got power to bind it. Use your authority, Howard.
I think next week when we broadcast again, we should start talking about prosperity, because I think we could play with that one for a while. That's just a fun topic, but people hate that topic just like they hate healing. And here's the reason why, and I can nail it too. It's not so much that people hear about it, you know, at their church, and the church says this and that, but why do they think that? It's because people have taken what they've experienced and decided, well, that must be God. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so was a good Christian, and they died from this or that. listen, I never question whether somebody was a good person or a bad person, a good minister, anything like that. You know what? Here's the thing. We're on this planet. We're on this planet that's filled with sin, and there's evil here. I know we've brought this up before, but this may be the first time you're hearing it, so I'm just going to ask you this question. Is salvation available to everyone?
Yes.
What is John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in Jesus can receive eternal life. You need the worst person you can think of, the best person you can think of, and literally all points in between. But now here's the question. Everyone you know, are they saved?
No.
Do they love God? Have they received Christ? Of course not. And why is that? In some cases, it's because they've heard it, but they've rejected it. The gospel, the good news, right? In some cases, folks haven't even heard. They have no idea. There's a whole generation of people there's a lot of things that they haven't heard. And here's what I'm telling you. You don't, the blessings of God, the promises of God in the Bible do not just fall on you like you're driving down the highway and a rock hits you in the windshield. That's not how the promises of God work. You know, you get that little crack in your windshield and you're like, where in the world did that come from? That is not how God's promises work. Any more than how the salvation of God just falls on you. You're just walking around one day, you walk around the mall, and all of a sudden, whoop, I feel different. Did I just get saved? What just happened? That is not how salvation works. You have to hear it, and you have to act upon it. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So listen, it doesn't just fall on you. And healing, you have to know what the word of God says and believe it. The Bible says that it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without faith, without belief in God and God's word, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He is what? That he can heal, that he brings, that he'll meet your needs. He'll prosper you. He'll bless you, right? He'll bring you salvation. And that he's a rewarder, right? That he's a rewarder. He'll reward you with those things. It's like Jesus I believe it's John chapter 4 or Luke chapter 4. I think it's John chapter 4 when the leper walks up to Jesus and says, I know you can heal me if you are willing, or I know you can make me clean if you are willing. That is the perfect example of someone coming to God. They weren't quite sure if he was going to reward him. Wasn't quite sure if he was going to actually do it, if he was going to be a rewarder. But there was no question that Jesus was the healer. No question. And bringing up Jesus, and Bob, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much here. If you look at the life of Jesus, we know that if you see Jesus, we've seen the Father. Jesus was explicit with that. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. He followed exactly what his Father wanted, his heart. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I say all that to say this. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Name one time Jesus refused to heal somebody. I don't care what a TV show said. I'm saying in the Bible. Where in the Bible did anybody, anywhere, come to Jesus and Jesus be like, nope, it turns out God actually put that on you to teach you something. You can handle it. Don't worry. God's going to use that sickness to help someone else who has the same sickness. Not one time. Everyone who came in contact with him who had faith or believed him, or even in some cases had no idea who he was, but that there was no unbelief hindering him. That's the key. There was no unbelief hindering him. He healed. The only place it says was in his hometown. It said there he could do no mighty works. Didn't say he couldn't do any works. It said he could do no mighty works. Say he healed a few sick folk. Why? Because of their unbelief. Their unbelief was the only thing that hindered Jesus' ability to heal folks. But nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or anywhere they've recounted in Acts or any of the epistles where they talk about Jesus, was there ever a time where they were like, and this one time Jesus walked up to this person and they needed healing, but he said, nope, and walked on. Never happened. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, that's right. Psalm 103:3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, that's forgiveness of sin, who healeth, notice this, all thy diseases. Not only is he willing to heal, he's willing. Notice that. He's willing to heal all. and no matter whatever the disease is, and no matter how long you've had it, he's more than willing to heal. Now you say, what do I got to do to be healed? Well, find you scriptures in the Word of God that promises you a healing, that kind of sticks out to you, that kind of speaks to you on healing, and let them become a part of you, and remind God of his word. And then you pray the prayer of faith. You release your faith, and then you believe that you receive your healing for whatever's wrong with you. And then you thank God every time you think about it, and you praise him that you are healed now. Not going to, because you healed when you received. You believe that you received your healing, and you're healed. Now, symptoms may still be there. You may go back to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you still got such and such. Or you may go back, and the doctor says, it's gotten worse. That didn't change nothing. If you believe the word of God and you believe that you received. A lot of people say, will you pray for me that when I go to the doctor, I'll have a good report? I'll say, no, I won't pray for you for that, because you already got a good report, and that's the word of God, and it says, by his stripes ye were healed. Now, after you believe that you received, the enemy's going to come and challenge you and put thoughts in your mind and tell you, you're not going to get healed this time. That's when you need to quote the word of God, it is written, and say, by his stripes I were healed. Howard?
You know, I like that you brought up bring God's word to his remembrance. You know what that's all about. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Any good Baptist knows that. That's part of the Romans road. You know, because you got to have faith to get born again. You got to have that. It's Romans 10:17. It's right there in the Romans road. But Brother Bob brought up an interesting thing, bringing God's word to his remembrance. Isaiah 43:25-26 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, granted, that's Old Testament. We're talking about the Old Testament, but even God's people in the Old Testament could come to him in repentance, and God would blot out their transgressions, right? You and I, they're not blotted out. Our transgressions are eliminated. We're cleansed of them. But that's not my point. Verse 26, God speaking, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. We can bring God's word to his remembrance. And we can, I know people say, like, contend with God. Listen, these aren't my words. I didn't make this up. This is in the Bible. This is in your Bible. Isaiah 40, I heard a minister say that this weekend a few times, and I absolutely loved it. He'd say something that would seem like a little bit like could be contentious with folks. He's like, in your Bible, it says this, and they're just kind of cracking me up. So I think I've kind of picked that. Put me in remembrance. We are to put God in remembrance of his word. Now, you're probably thinking, that sounds a bit ignorant. Doesn't he know his own word? Absolutely. But you need to know his word. Am I right? Listen. Sometimes, how long has it been that you've been saying God doesn't heal people today? Or sometimes he does if it's his will, but sometimes it's not his will. How many times have you lived with sickness because you thought God had put it on you, or you had earned it because you were a bad person? You did something wrong and this sickness came on you. Now listen, granted, if you've smoked for 40 years and lung cancer's come on you, yeah, that there's a possibility you're the one who brought that on yourself, right? If you eat poorly all the time, you eat sugar constantly, and at some point your body says, oh, how about some diabetes? Yes, I get it. In those situations, you have brought it on yourself. But listen, if you will repent and turn from those ways, that God's healing is right there. As a matter of fact, I contend with you that you can be healed even if you keep doing the same stuff. But if you have the right faith, but then again, it'll come back because, you know, you keep making wrong decisions. There's decisions that we make in this life. It's like driving down the street with no seatbelt on, and then a car hits you, and you get killed in a car accident. It might have been a minor car accident, but you're not wearing your seatbelt, so guess what happens? It's a little worse than what it would have been if you'd been wearing a seatbelt. It's the same stuff. Listen, bring God's word to his remembrance. But, Bob, I think you know the key to all this. We keep saying all this stuff. There's a big key. You have got to know what's in the Bible. Yeah. If you don't know what's in the Bible, you can't confess anything, you can't speak anything, you can't know anything about this stuff, because you've got to know what's in the Bible. If you don't spend time in the Word of God, most of the stuff will never do you any good. You've got to spend time in the Word of God every day. We've got to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. It's in 1 Peter, grow thereby. That's the only way you're going to grow in your Christianity as a Christian, as a child of God, is through His Word. Brother Bob, you want to put?
Yeah.
We're getting actually towards the end a little bit, but you want to kind of put a conclusion on this, and then we'll give folks a chance to receive Jesus before we go.
Yeah. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's where your faith's going to start from. It's when the will of God's known, and His Word is His will. When you know the Word of God, that it's God's will for you to be born again, for you to live in divine health, and you to be prosperous, then you know the will of God. It's the mind of God. When you know the Word of God, faith begins where the will of God is known. Go ahead, Howard.
That is our mind. You really need to think about that. Faith is the Word of God, but the will of God is known. Right? Now listen, we said all that. It's about the Word of God. It's about knowing the Word of God. But listen, even before that, we keep talking about being born again, being a believer. Listen, there's only one way to get saved, and it ain't going to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every time the door's open. It's not giving away your money to that homeless person who's begging on the side of the street. It is not giving your time away to children's charities. It's not none of those things, although they're good. Do not get me wrong. They're good things, but they do not save you. We referenced this earlier. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, it's interesting, that word saved and salvation, it's sozo and soteria. Both of those words don't just mean missing hell. It actually means deliverance, its wholeness, its health, its healing. It includes all of those things. They are much broader words than we think. But the only way you can achieve salvation is by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing with your mouth Jesus is Lord. That's how we do it. Going to church doesn't save you. And none of those things save you that we talked about. They're all good things, but they don't save you. If you right now, if you're listening and you are not 100% certain that you've ever even done that, you've gone to church, but you're not sure if you've ever actually asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I want you to leave this broadcast. Brother Bob, I want you to leave this broadcast knowing without a shadow of a doubt you are a born-again child of God. And it's the easiest thing and the most important decision you'll ever make. The easiest, and it's also easy to do. All I want you to do is just repeat this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you were raised from the dead. Come into my life now. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, congratulations. You are now a child of God. You are a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We want you to email us. We have an email. It's samespiritoffaith, all one word, no spaces, no dots, samespiritoffaith@proton.me. Email us. We'll help you find a church. We'll rejoice with you. We'll help you find a church. We'll send you a Bible literally free, 100% free. No shipping, no nothing, 100% free. We won't even put you on the mailing list because we don't have a mailing list. We'll just send you a Bible. We'll help you find a good Bible-believing church. Listen, if you go to a church right now and they've never said anything that we've been talking about or they disagree with what we're saying, listen, we're giving you the Word of God. If you would like help finding a church that believes in the Word of God, the uncompromised Word of God, email us. samespiritoffaith@proton.me. We will help you. I don't care where you're at in the world. Good thing we got the interwebs. We can find you a church wherever you are that believes in the Word of God. Brother Bob, you want to close this out?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll find you a church. And I just want to welcome you to the family if you prayed that prayer. And tune in next week for another teaching from the Word of God. We love you.
Yeah, we love you. And listen, God bless you guys. And next week, I think we're going to talk about prosperity, which should be fun. I love talking about prosperity. Glory to God. Thanks, everyone.